You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And it is time now for the roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill. For reservations, check out Blue Point Grill. That's grill with an E.com. They have the best seafood in town, won the Silver Spoon Award every year for seafood ever since they've been open. In my opinion, the finest crab legs in the city of Cleveland. Check them out downtown and on the website, Blue Point Grill with an E.com. Great way to tailgate for the game. You can get Bloody Marys, oysters, valet parking, the whole works. Go take in a Browns victory against the Steelers, for example, two Sundays from now, and then come back to Blue Point Grill and continue the party all night long with a succulent feast of crab legs, the freshest seafood flown in, and they also have great steaks and pretty darn good people watching, too. So check them out. Bringing in now Tom Withers from the Associated Press and Doug Deacon, the color analyst for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Gentlemen, this is an important game, but in your minds, is this a must-win for the Cleveland Browns?
Go ahead, Deke.
I think every game is an important game, yeah. And I think, you know, this is a game, obviously, when you look at it on paper, you say, you know, hey, you know, we should probably win this game. But as we all know, that isn't the way it happened. You know, we saw what happened to New England the other night. We saw what happened Pittsburgh this past weekend. So, you know, if you go down there thinking that they're going to fold their tents, I don't think so. You got a couple guys in that coaching staff who have interviewed for head coaching jobs here that didn't get it, so they'll be inspired. I got a defensive back coach that was here, so, you know, he's going to be inspired. You got a defensive coordinator that thought he should have been here a little longer, so he's going to be inspired. So I think it's going to be that's a tough stadium. They get a lot of noise down there, so it's going to be a tough football game.
Deke's right on the money. I mean, it's too dangerous to look at any game as kind of a gimme in this league. I mean, we've seen that happen before, and then I've heard people actually talking about the schedule over the next 4 or 5 weeks, saying it looks, you know, pillowy soft, which is an absolute mistake to do. So I'm with Deke. I think this is going to be a very tough challenge. You know, the Titans started out really well this year in a big win at Kansas City on the road. They struggled the last three games. Their last two starts have been primarily because Jake Locker has not played well, and he's been dealing with a bad wrist. They do expect him to play this week. You know, in talking to some of the Browns yesterday, particularly Alex Mack, he said when you look at the film, this is a pretty solid team. And that Indianapolis game last week, everything that could go right for the Colts did, and everything that could go wrong for the Titans did. So I think this is a team that's a lot better than people think.
I agree with you. I think it is a solid team top to bottom. The Browns need to come out and take care of their business in this game. Now, they will have Ben Tate for the first time since the first half of that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. First of all, how do you see this backfield being divvied up, and what do you think the return of Tate means?
Well, I think the return of Tate gives you a little more flexibility with your no-huddle offense and things like that, because his knowledge of the playbook is much better than the two rookies. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, Brian Hoyer has been not gotten credit for what he has done with the two rookie running backs behind him. But when you haven't played for a couple weeks, yeah, you might have some fresh legs, but also you got to get used to the contact, which you haven't really had for a couple weeks too. So, I think it's good because he understands the blocking scheme as far as picking up blitzes, and he's a good receiver out of the backfield. But we still also have to see which one they're going to go to as the second back.
I'd come out in the Oklahoma wishbone and play all three of them and just turn it loose. But no, I think it's a good problem to have. I mean, we've talked about, you know, the need for competition on this roster. You know, we were able to see what these young backs could do in those couple of games without Ben Tate. So I think it's a nice thing to have. And I think Deke's right, too. I think it's going to take Ben a little bit of time to kind of get, you know, used to the speed of the game again and taking a couple hits.
Who do you see as the number two running back on the Cleveland Browns if we're going to install Ben Tate as the number one?
You know,
you're the coach, Tom Withers, you're the coach of the Browns right now. Who's number two on your depth chart?
Well, I'm a big Crowell guy.
Me too.
I like the Crow. I'd like to see a little bit more out of him. I think, you know, I think both of them bring, you know,
a lot.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Yep. The way both of them run. I think it's good that both of them got some reps while Tate was on the sideline. Now, you know, they're both hungry again. They both want to get back out there and run the rock.
I think, you know, it'd be great to run the pitches and the pitch sweeps for about the first 20 runs, get the defense a little tired, then put Crowell in and just let them run right at him and see how anxious they are to tackle him.
I don't think they will be when they get a little fatigue there. What's the most important thing the Browns need to do defensively this week to get the W?
You know, tackling was an issue in week one, and then I thought the last couple of weeks, and just looking at some of the film too, I think guys have been kind of overrunning the play a little bit in my mind. I think, you know, there's been an issue with setting the edge a little bit. I think there's been an issue with guys kind of wanting to hit a home run and make the big play on defense rather than staying at home, staying in their gaps, you know, playing sound, solid defensive football. So I think they need to play as a unit, and I think it's a young group that's still kind of getting used to each other. You know, I think the bye week came at a good time for this defense.
I agree.
And this was supposed to be the backbone of this team so far, and it's been broken. So I think it was a good chance for everybody to kind of sit back and say, hey, we got to be a better unit if we're going to win some games this year.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, you can't make a play and be a hero all the time. And, you know, on the other hand, you can't let Fred make the play either, the other guy. So what you got to play team defense. And, you know, if you're getting somebody's getting double teamed, that means somebody else is going to be scraping free. Well, that guy scraping free has got to make the play. I think, you know, maybe the defensive line maybe stands up a little bit too much sometimes, and, you know, and makes the double teams more effective where they are able to get them pushed back to the second level, which, you know, blocks off the ability of the linebackers to scrape. So it's trying to get in sync, I think, defensively would be the best way. They've got to get themselves in sync as a unit.
Has that been the biggest problem with the run defense in your mind, what's happening at the point of attack with guys maybe standing up a little too high?
Well, guys standing up a little bit too high. Also, guys, you know, from the backside coming down too high, far, trying to make a play and losing the edge on the backside.
You know, I picked up on what defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill said today, which is that guys are falling back on bad habits and bad technique, and technique that doesn't work in this system. And I think it's partly because they're still playing that scheme that they played last year under Ray Horton at times, and relying on that to get him through, and they got to be true to what the scheme says now.
Well, we heard Mike Patton say, you know, that Ruben played the run as good as any defensive lineman he's seen or had. So with that said, that's not the Ruben we've seen. So there's something that's not matching up right now.
Right. No, I think that's a very fair point. What did you guys make of the comments about Barkevious Mingo from the head coach? And then I know you were down there, Tom, and Jim O'Neill elaborated on that a little bit. You know, I made the point yesterday, and I still feel this way, that the last time an outside linebacker was drafted to be a drop outside linebacker, sixth overall in the NFL, was never. And it'll never happen in the future either. What do you make of where they're at with Mingo and where you're at with Mingo?
You know, I think they're still trying to figure out what he does best. I mean, obviously he was classified as a pass rusher coming out of college, and we've seen moments of that, especially on the outside. He has that one outside move, and he gets past that tackle, it's over. But I think, you know, Mingo has not wanted to be a one-trick pony either, and I've seen him at times this year try to go inside and maybe get himself caught in there a little bit. Again, as Deke said before, you know, trying to hit a home run, trying to make the big play. So, you know, there's also been times where I think, you know, Mingo has done a nice job dropping into coverage. You know, they had him on tight ends. They had him on Pitta a couple times a few weeks ago, and he did a pretty decent job. So I still think this coaching staff is trying to figure out, you know, what they can get the most out of with Barkevious Mingo, and he's also been dealing with a shoulder issue as well.
And I think, you know, one of the problems is he's got to learn to use his hands better, because his downfall is when the offensive linemen get their hands on him.
And they can't go anywhere.
You know, if he can find a way to, you know, knock him off and use that as a weapon as opposed just to speed rush, I think, you know, that will really help his game.
I'd like to see him spend some time with Paul Kruger, who I think does that as well as anybody.
Absolutely.
He's wax on, wax off all day long, getting the offensive lineman off of him.
And for many years, you know, we used to have a karate guy that would help the team with the defensive lineman. I'm trying to think of where he's at now. Somebody we played, he was with him. But that was the whole purpose. Yeah. Learn to use your hands.
It's important to get that release, get to the quarterback there. You're listening to the Roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. Best seafood in town. 75,000 oysters shucked every single year. Take someone special to Blue Point and score some serious points. Tom Withers from the Associated Press, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network with me here. Now, we're talking about the defense because that's the area that needs improvement, but I think it's also we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge what a great job this offense has done and what a great job Brian Hoyer has done as the quarterback of this offense, Tom. And is it not amazing that when the season started and Johnny was drafted and people said, well, even if Hoyer starts, after the bye week. Johnny Manziel starting for sure against Tennessee. In fact, the odds makers who allowed people to wager on such things, this was the point of demarcation they had set for it. And now it's not even in the conversation, nor should it be.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to be making his first career start on Sunday. You're right. No, Hoyer's been great, and I'll let Doug talk about the offensive line, which I think is a big reason
MVPs
for this
of the team.
This point. They've been terrific, you know, across the board. So, you know, Brian's been smart with the ball. He hasn't made mistakes. He's taken what defenses have given him. You know, again, still with no over-the-top threat. He's thrown underneath. I think teams maybe are going to start figuring them out a little bit and maybe taking away some of that underneath stuff. But I think Brian's been terrific so far. I think he's gone way beyond, I think, what a lot of us thought he would do this season.
You know, we talked about the defense and guys, you know, having bad techniques because they're playing something that they'd played before. Well, on the offensive side, I think, you know, the scheme that Kyle Shanahan runs fits what the offensive line does best, and that is, you know, play on their feet, move, and be able to block in space. So it's been a nice matchup in that regard. And as far as Brian Hoyer, you know, we knew coming in that I think, you know, his strong suit was his mind. He was the guy that was going to know where to throw the football, and he's done a great job of that. He's taken care of the football. And as we said earlier, you know, not only has he done that, but he's also had these two rookie running backs that he's kind of pretty much had to self-coach a lot of times in situations where, you know, they're confused and we'll see a mistake made. But, you know, he's kept himself under cool. And I think, you know, he's made some other people around him look good. I mean, Andrew Hawkins, he was supposed to be a slot receiver. Now, you know, he's leading the
team.
He's
been dominant, right?
You don't have Jordan Cameron. But, you know, he's found a way to get Barnage and Dre involved. So, you know, he is, you know, utilized it to the point that if you're on the field, you might be getting the football, and if you're blocking for him, we might have a run. So, you know, he's earned the respect of his teammates in the huddle. I mean, he had the respect coming in that, you know, he's a pro football player. But, you know, until you do it on the field, guys a lot of times won't buy into it.
You know, Nathan, if I could just add to that, Doug makes a great point, and you can see that confidence growing in Brian in the locker room, and you can see the confidence in his teammates growing around him. In fact, talking to a couple guys this week, you know, they've been pleasantly surprised as well. I think, you know, not only did we in the media and the fans wonder when was Brian Hoyer going to start showing up, you know, during the preseason with all that he had on his plate. And I think we've seen it in the last couple of weeks. And I really think, you know, it is now officially established as Brian Hoyer's team, and that can only be a good thing going forward.
It's a great thing. And the relationship between Hoyer and Manziel is at the best level that it's been at since he's been here. I think it's worked out. And I don't know if he'd ever say it, but if he were to go back, maybe he just would have named Hoyer starter from day one, because it seems mentally for everybody involved it's been better.
But it's also better for the football team the way it has worked out, because, you know, now Johnny Manziel gets to watch. He doesn't get forced.
Of course.
He doesn't, you know, go through some of those aches and pains that a rookie might suffer, where, you know, he'll solve some answers that he didn't get because of the offense he played in college, and now he gets an opportunity to read defenses and learn how to prepare for a game like a pro.
Certainly. One guy you both mentioned there, Andrew Hawkins, I think the most tenacious route runner in the NFL. The guy just gets after it on every play. He's been great, exceeded expectations. One guy who has not gotten to expectations due to injury thus far is Jordan Cameron, though. How close to 100% do you think he is, and how much of an impact player can he be, and does he need to be for this offense to stay at the level it has opened the season
with? I think that bye week may have helped Jordan Cameron more than anybody else on this team, and I can tell by the bruise on his shoulder, which has gotten less and less over the last couple of weeks, that he's finally coming around. So I think this is a week where we could really see Jordan Cameron break out.
I certainly hope so. We know Ray Horton's defense struggled with tight ends last year here. Hopefully Jordan can get it going.
Last week they struggled with a lot. Luck almost hit him for 400. But, you know, and the other thing about that game that they played at the clock time, you know, I think Indianapolis had the ball for three quarters of the game.
Yep.
You just don't do that in the NFL anymore.
No, they hopefully will be a little bit worn down and the Browns can keep on rolling. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here with us on the Roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill here on Cleveland Browns Daily. And of course, you can go to Blue Point Grill on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair before every Browns home game, before any evening you want to take someone special out. It's Blue Point Grill, grillwithane.com for reservations. With a name like Blue Point, you know oysters are a big deal. They've got huge king crab legs, succulent lobster tails, fresh scallops, ahi, tuna, and they also have incredible steaks as well. So check it out. And it's also the classiest way to tailgate with oysters, Bloody Marys, food, valet parking. Now that's pre-gaming in style. Blue Point Grill brought you the Great Roundtable today, featuring Tom Withers from the Associated Press, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We'll be back with some sound from the week here of the Cleveland Browns players talking about this game against Tennessee. Still to come, a little fact or fiction, and we will also answer some fantasy football questions, apparently, in the final segment of this one to get your teams in the win column. All right, we'll be back with more here on ESPN 850 WKNR.